Well, during this season of Advent, we are focusing our messages around the theme called Ancient Words, kind of wanting to focus in on the words that those people 2,000 years ago who experienced the first coming of Christ might have known as their scriptures, reminding us that the New Testament as we have it today, where the stories of Matthew and Luke who tell us about the birth of Jesus were yet to be written. There were other words, other scriptures that kind of animated people's imagination about what the coming of God's anointed one, God's chosen one, God's son, and God's Messiah would look like, and what it would bring to the community who was awaiting that moment in history. So we're going to focus in on those continued words of Isaiah. Today's words being about good news. Yesterday, looking at my good buddy John Hogacker over there, we were together over at West Outer Drive, United Methodist Church, with about 10 of our servants from the community here, where they have a Christmas store, where they do about between $35,000 and $50,000 of outreach to the Brightmoor community on one day, offering clothes and food and fellowship and job training and all kinds of things happening there in that one moment. You need to know that when John and I got hooked up to be personal shoppers, it was quite a scene to see John and I trying to shop for trying to help women figure out what they needed to get for their girls. It was really quite a scene. It was really quite a scene. But there was one moment I won't forget. John and I were with a woman, Sharon, yesterday, and we gave her a coat. And Sharon about broke into tears. That this coat, this gift, this moment, this something that seemed so simple to us and yet was so profound to her, that this was hers, helped chosen by people who loved her and cared for her, was a reminder of what the good news of this season is really, really all about. Begin this morning again with a video. The song is O Come Emmanuel, O Come God with us and God among us. And the images that are set behind this song are images of our community, of Detroit, right here in our midst, just a couple of exits down the road. And it's a reminder of where the Messiah needs to come. As those images in that song invite us into today's scripture, I simply ask you to begin to think about what would be good news this season.
Come down.
words from the 52nd chapter of the book of Isaiah for those who cried for the Lord to come. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels will lift up their voices. Together they will sing for joy. In the plain sight they will see the return of the Lord to Zion. Zion, God's city. The return of God to the city. Break forth together into singing, your ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of the nation, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask, the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good news. I don't know about you, but I could use some good news. Because it seems like when you flip on the television or pop open the newspaper or hear the radio, that the headlines seem to be just overwhelming with bad news. The economy. Jobs are down. Employment hard to find. Hard-pressed to find good news. We're still a world at war on two fronts. Our soldiers continually put in harm's way. Where's the good news? Haiti, places around the world that suffer so much when natural disaster hits it. The environment. You flip open the newspaper sometimes and it seems like the whole world is falling down around us. And of course we've got the lions. You know? They call us Woe Town now. We need some good news, people. We need some good news. And Christmas is about good news. More than anything else, Christmas is supposed to be about good news. More than shopping, more than Christmas trees, more than lights or cookies or elves or presents or parties, Christmas is supposed to be about good news. Supposed to be about good news. Even more than it's supposed to be about church services and poinsettias and cookie walks and special services, all of the neat things we do this season loses its impact if it's not about the message of good news. And when you read those ancient words from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, it's clear that there were people who were waiting for good news, waiting for it to come, waiting for it to be proclaimed. It was the promise of the scripture that when God would come among us, O Emmanuel, God with us, when God would be with us and among us, that it would be the bearer of good news. Hear that first scripture again. How beautiful are the feet on the mountains who carry the good news. See, the people who were waiting for Christ to come were people who needed some good news. They too were people who lived in the uncertainty of a world at war. They too were fishermen who seemed to be fishing more and more and having little and little to show for it. The people who were waiting for Christ to come, they were tax collectors who were tired of working for a system that seemed more interested in padding its own pockets than it did in taking care of the people that they were called to serve. The people who waited for Jesus were the women, who seemed invisible and their voices unheard. They waited for one who would come and see them and hear them and honor their voice. That was the children who were left to fend for themselves in a world that is often unforgiving. They are the ones who waited for Jesus. It was the folks who had made mistakes, the crooks and the thieves, those who had been imprisoned. It was those who waited for one who would come and say, "Your past no longer defines you. There is a new future available." They were waiting for that good news like us. 2,000 years ago, they waited for one who had a message of good news. That's why I love the way today's scripture puts it. It says, "How beautiful are the feet of the ones who bring good news." Beautiful feet. I love the way the scripture says that. Beautiful feet. I like that, because I don't have very pretty feet. Can I just be honest with you? I don't like my feet at all. I've got bony toes. They're crooked. I'm not ever going to get a job as a foot model. Ever. I researched last night on Wikipedia. You know that foot models can make about $150,000 a year just to get pictures of their feet? I know. I want some beautiful feet, you know? Crooked toes. My feet aren't pretty. I seldom go around barefoot. I don't like to wear sandals because I don't have beautiful feet. That's why I love today's scripture, because it says the feet that are beautiful aren't how they look, but what those feet do. Beautiful are the feet that carry good news. Did you ever stop to think about Jesus's feet? And how those feet of the one we say was the one who came to answer good news, Jesus' feet tell the story of good news. The baby's feet, born in a manger. Can you put that baby foot back up there for me, Steve? The baby's feet, born in a manger, in a small, cold, forgotten, hidden place of the world. Born to teenage, unwed, refugee parents. Worshipped by the working class, night shift shepherds. The good news that these feet tell us is that is the very moment where God enters the human story. In the forgotten and hidden and left behind places of the world, that God comes first to those who feel like God has most forgotten them and abandoned them. The feet of the baby Jesus proclaim good news. That not only does our God enter the story, but enters it among the people who need that good news the most. The feet of Jesus. The next slide shows us the feet that walked among the people. Those pictures of Jesus among the crowds. Jesus walked with the people. He walked down the dusty and rocky roads. He journeyed with the folks, the highways and byways of life, going from town to town to be where the people are. The good news of those feet is that God is not up there. That God is right here. among the people. I sometimes think we don't know where God is because we think God is up there hiding and sitting on a throne waiting to descend. And what the feet of Jesus tell us is that God walks among us and with us, going from town to town, going to be where the people are. The feet of Jesus tell us that God doesn't always wait for us to come to Him. The feet of Jesus tell us the good news, that God comes first to us. Think about the feet of Jesus. The feet that walked on water to come out and get us when we felt like we were drowning. The feet of Jesus that were wiped by the tears of those who suffered and felt left behind. The feet of Jesus who showed us how beautiful feet are, for He held each of our feet and washed them as an act of service, and then told us to take our feet and go out into the world and do the same. And perhaps the most beautiful picture of Jesus' feet are these. For these are the feet that bring good news. For a Lord who loved us so much that He would not only live among us, but He would die for us. These feet tell us that our God is not immune to the suffering of the world, but this God suffered in the world in the same way that we do. The good news maybe isn't that God removes our suffering. The good news is that God is in the midst of the suffering with us. That we do not have to go it alone. How beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. So here's my question for you this morning. How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are our feet? Are they the feet that bring good news? For that's what this season is all about. It's the season of beautiful feet, of the people who bring that message that God is still with us and God is still among us. And I don't know about you, but over these last few weeks, these last couple of weeks, there is one place that has continually captured my heart, weighs heavy on my soul about where God's feet of good news need to be. And that place for me these last few weeks is a little town on the border of Michigan and Ohio, a little town called Morenci. You've heard the story. You've seen the boys' faces. Three boys: Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner went missing the day after Thanksgiving. And the story of what happened to them simply does not seem to hold up. A little town of about 2,000 people, the biggest town for miles around. Everybody knows everybody in a town like that. Everybody affected by this. It's a place that needs good news. So I want to introduce you to one of my new heroes. My colleague, right there in the middle of that circle, Pastor Debbie Galloway. Debbie's the pastor of the Little United Methodist Church in Morenci, Michigan. 40 people attend that church every Sunday, and among those 40 were those three boys. She's their pastor. But she's not just been their pastor now. She's become the pastor to that whole community. Debbie works part-time as a pastor. The church can't afford to pay her full-time. Friends, there's nothing as part-time ministry. There's only part-time pay. And so Debbie is out there being the most beautiful feet to that community. Here she is on the bus, praying with those who go out to work. I spoke to Debbie on Friday. I'd never met her before, but that's the great thing about being United Methodist. All you got to do is say, I'm a United Methodist from Redford, and now we're part of family. And I wanted her to know that we see her as the bearer of good news in a community that is ripped apart and shattered by that suffering. That she is the one who's helping to remind us that God is not absent to us in moments of our despair and suffering and our confusion. But the good news of this season is coming through people like Pastor Debbie, who go out and walk and be among the people, who pray with firefighters, who pray with families, and who is the body and blood and hands and feet of Jesus Christ to this very community. I told Debbie that our church in Redford would be in prayer with her this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond if you feel so led and so called to do that. I have a little thing here that you helped me with called the Pastor's Discretionary Fund. My Pastor's Discretionary Fund allows me to help families that are in need. In a church of 40, Debbie's Pastor's Discretionary Fund ain't got much in it. And I told her what I would do this Sunday is I'd simply give my congregation an opportunity to respond so that she could be present to those families in the weeks and months to come, that she would have some resources that she could just use in order to make a difference in that small little community. So out back on your way out today, there's simply a basket there. You can leave an extra offering. You can take an envelope home with you and bring in something during the week. Next week, I'll tell you how much we raised, and then I'll double it out of our pastor's discretionary. So we will make a gift to that church in this season. The last question I asked Pastor Debbie before I hung up the phone with her on Friday was this. I said, Pastor Debbie, what do your feet look like? She said, why do you ask? I said, I don't know, but I just imagine they've got to be some of the most beautiful feet that I've ever seen. Brothers and sisters, how beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. Have beautiful feet this season.